We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Oscar Robertson, Lou Alcindor, what a year has it been. The Bucks are the world champions.
Moncrief going inside.
Up top, O'Bannon has got a clean catch.
Milwaukee wins it! Play basketball and win.
And win?
Yeah.
How many games?
Six. We're going to win in six.
Hey there, everyone, and welcome to the Eurostep Podcast Network post Game 6 of the Milwaukee Bucks versus the Atlanta Hawks in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm Rohan Kadi from the Eurostep. Joining me today are Adam McGee and Jordan Tresky from the Win in Six podcast. And that is very poignant because we are recording live after the Milwaukee Bucks have advanced to the NBA Finals after winning in six in the Eastern Conference Finals. Adam, Jordan, how is it going?
It's pretty good. You know, it's been worse, Ron. This is great. It's finally, you know, Jordan and I have been hosting a podcast for 5 years that had a novelty name. Not anymore, Jordan. Not anymore.
Yeah, a very relevant name. Finally, I don't have to explain why this is the name of a podcast for a Bucks podcast that no one has the backstory for. The Bucks are in the finals. What?
We just witnessed.
They just got a trophy.
Yes, we just saw them get a trophy.
And it's not a summer. Well, they didn't even win summer league. That's my old staple.
Oh gosh, Jordan, not now. Not now, Jordan.
No, we saw them.
Never need to think of a summer league again. There was a time where really we discussed, you know, would there need to be a parade for a summer league championship? Is that the ceiling? Is that as good as it could get? But here they are. They're in the finals. It's incredible.
We just saw them raise the Eastern Conference Championship trophy. We have been carefully watching certain Instagram lives from players inside the locker rooms. We will update you if anything happens, let's say that. But yeah, we are obviously filled with emotion here. So this is going to be a unusual episode. We can say that. That was definitely a game. We're going to try hard to actually talk about the game. But first, let's appreciate this moment. We're sort of doing that right now. Adam, you just got to that point. We were talking about summer league titles not that long ago. Not that long ago. We all started like covering this team at around the same time. So we have seen this team go from the absolute doldrums of the league to now they're in the NBA Finals. They are playing for an NBA championship. it's been a wild ride, much like this game. But it's been just a monumentous uprising, not only for this franchise, but for this city, for this state, for the players involved, everyone involved. It's just been a constant rise. And it's all coming together at the best possible time.
It's been 47 years. It's been 47 years. Like, there just aren't many fans out there who've been through this. There really aren't. Like, it's not just people our age. It's not just people like us who've been really living the ups and downs of the Milwaukee Bucks experience the last few years. It's been 47 years. This isn't about, you know, oh, in 2001, they got so close and, you know, they got screwed by the refs. No, they've got past that. They're in the finals. They're in the finals. For the third time in franchise history, the Milwaukee Bucks will be playing for an NBA championship. And it's truly, truly incredible. I really started to feel emotional seeing the trophy presentation. I wasn't expecting that, because you don't think, oh, you know, the Eastern Conference Finals trophy presentation, it's not the thing you mark it as. But for this team, first and foremost, you know, to win a championship, you've got to get to the finals. But it's been the idea of just, you know, can they get out of the East? Can they get there and give themselves a chance for so many years, even with the team on the up? And to see them actually do it, to see them do it in the way they did, which was to give us the full Milwaukee Bucks experience in that fourth quarter. You know, I might have had a wager on the Bucks tonight, right? There was an early payout option for, you know, if they're up by 20 points, you get paid out. So I got paid out in the third quarter. And yet I was losing my mind as the game was coming down the stretch in the fourth quarter. It doesn't get more Bucks than that. This is kind of the way it should happen for the Bucks. But let's also, you know, all of the talk throughout this postseason about, you know, the Bucks have had, you know, good breaks in terms of health. That's changed up a bit recently, and they've won back-to-back games without Giannis to get to the finals. That is truly incredible, and that's a real mark of multiple key players on this team. Like, a lot of the same guys who stepped up again, but some of them in ways that, you know, we talked about Brooke, particularly in the last game, legacy game. There were legacy games out there again. Jrue Holiday had a defensive game that I've rarely ever seen the likes of. Like, we were getting excited about him snatching the ball away from, like, one guy in the last game. He did it, like, six times in this game. Just absolutely mind-blowing. And Chris Middleton, what is left to be said about Chris Middleton? What is left to be said? With Chris Middleton playing the way he is right now, there is absolutely no reason that the Milwaukee Bucks cannot win a championship.
I mean, well, I have a tough act to follow right now. But it's just one of those things where you go through Bucks fandom, and I mean, we're not even talking about the 15 win season. Like, because that was almost relief, if you remember being there, because it was all the years of just being in the middle and just kind of just existing, but nothing, there was no progress, there's no decline. You're just riding the treadmill of mediocrity, as they say. And it was just like, what is this future? The future of the franchise was in question.
Own the future.
Exactly. As much fun as we made of that slogan and all this stuff, and just like, this is, as much as it has been a process for the players and just building this roster from, you know, hoping that you get a franchise changing pick in the draft, and it doesn't work out. It does not work out. It goes up in flames, and they hit on this Greek kid. Like, everything just, I'm going to be rambling and not.
That's the point.
But go, it's just it. Like, when you see like the cliches of like, you take your lumps, you get your, once you make it to the playoffs and you're fortunate enough to make it to the conference finals and lose miserable fashion, like, no one makes it that easy. That year, I remember thinking 2018-19, I was thinking Bucks are going to win a championship. This is the team. That everything is breaking right for them. It was like how Golden State was 4 years before that. And it doesn't happen. And then last year happens, when, you know, the craziest thing that happens, if you know, now in my lifetime, but like just all this stuff happens that goes against them. And I'm not even talking about the years of when they were super good under the winningest coach in NBA history, mm-hmm. or second winningest coach in NBA history, and they still can't get there. They can't even win more than two conference finals games in Don Nelson's like era. I don't know what all this means if they're in the freaking finals, and it's just insane. It's beyond my wildest dreams, honestly.
It's even as much as trials and tribulations. That's what we're getting at. That's what we're getting at. Because there's been so much that's happened. There has been so much that has led up to this moment. And given, like, this isn't the bottom top. Like, this is the top. Like, there are two teams remaining. And it is a winner-take-all for it all. And the Milwaukee Bucks are there. They're there. It's four games. First to four games wins it all. Through everything. Like, Jordan, you're talking about, like, the Don Nelson era. Like, just getting through those 80s and 90s. Like, you're just... You can't
let
like,
Jason Kidd.
Yes.
Jason
this,
Kidd.
They'll own the future. This all started with freaking Jason Kidd in a commercial saying, let's do this.
Rod like, Torn. Justin Zanuck. Like, it's been a lot of weird God. Stuff. I believe my personal Bucks journey began on, I think it's the 10th of January 2015. And I looked up this box score here because I know this is the first article I ever wrote about the Bucks, the first piece of content. Which, my God, there's been like 6,000 of those since about this team. And it was a story about the man of that night, who was the recently signed 37-year-old Kenyon Martin, who came off the bench to go a perfect three of three and help the Bucks to victory over the Minnesota Timberwolves. So I feel like that was like their 12th loss in a row to Timberwolves. That was in not the lowest point either. But I started to think of that before this game, and it's wild. Like, the three of us have, you know, like, all Bucks fans have gone through it, really, really gone through it over the years. And the older you are, the more you've gone through it. But in just like podcasting with this team, writing about this team, some of the things we've seen, some of the things we've heard, you know, there's real kind of deep-rooted lasting damage there. We know all about the lasting damage that just afflicts the fan base. It's the reason why when that gap closes to six late in the game, like, people are having a meltdown. I had tweets, like celebratory tweets, that, you know, if this was another team and this was another fan base, I'd probably have fired off with 10 minutes to go. But it's like, you're afraid till there's like 90 seconds left and they're up 10, and then I press send on one and it went to seven, and I was like, oh no, did I go too soon? Like, there, it's just, it's so deep rooted to fear the worst, to not trust this team. And we've seen it happen over and over again that they'll fall flat in their face. And yet I really think they were set up in the past week to fall flat in their face. Like, everything was there, you know? Luck could have been conspiring against them. Cam Reddish turned into Kevin Durant. I don't know if anyone noticed this. Might be good that the Bucks got a good look at KD, because Cam Reddish came back after 4 months out with injury, and it's just like, oh, I'm Kevin Durant now.
It might be good that he didn't play until game five.
I agree with that. Although the Bucks won the games he played in. But just the fact that they've managed to get over the line here, I think that's something that no matter what comes next, this is such a monumental step forward for the franchise. This brings them to the point that, you know, we've believed they were in recent years, or we wanted them to be when they racked up regular season win after regular season win. But, you know, everyone can just say they're just a regular season team, or you can't take them serious when it gets to a certain point. That's gone. That's done. That doesn't mean people won't discredit them. That doesn't mean that people won't talk about, oh, you know, this player was out injured or that player was out injured. Guess what, though? 28 fan bases are, you know, rooted to their couch, watching their teams along with their players.
Guess what? Giannis isn't playing. He didn't play.
They won two games without him. They closed it out on the road without Giannis having to play. It's incredible. It really says a lot about this team. And I think for all of the things that I'm sure we'll talk about in this episode or in preview episodes, or that will come up game to game throughout the series against the Suns, Like, can you doubt Chris Middleton now? Can you doubt Drew Holiday, Brooke Lopez? Like, these guys can get it done. This team can win it all. You can't, I don't think it is. He's going to do things that are going to drive everyone insane.
But that's what I'm saying, is that
But he's also made some good adjustments, and they're at this point. You know, it's, there's no one, I think, literally no one, not even Giannis, on this team is perfect. But they've all had their moments. Like, Ty isn't here to really kind of ratchet up their jersey retirement case tonight. Pat Connaughton, talk about having a big game. Pat Connaughton had a mega game six, like game six again, where you're putting yourself in the franchise history books. There's so much of that. I mean, I can't believe it hasn't come up by now. This is really what we should have led with. The Jeff Teague game. The Jeff Teague game happened. I called it all along. You know, that's what you call having foresight. You know, he waited until the stakes were about at their highest. Maybe there's a bigger game to come. I know everyone would be all for seeing more Jeff Teague in the finals, but on a night where they kind of needed every point, they got some points from guys on the bench, and it was ugly. It was ugly, but they're there. And what else matters?
I'm in disbelief that the Jeff Teague game is real, if I'm being honest. Like, I went along with it as a bit. Like, sure.
It was not a bit. When I said it, I really believed it.
Commit to the bit.
Did I doubt myself since I said it? Yes, every single moment. But when I said it, I meant it. It's something he has done throughout his career. And really, all he needed was, you know, to be booed by Hawks fans and have a chance to get over the hump he couldn't get over with Atlanta. Talk about Bud as well. Like, when you see how happy Bud is on the floor at the end. Like, this is a franchise that Schlenk came in and was just like, yeah, you're not my coach. You're getting out of here, which is really what happened. Like, it was a mutual parting of ways. But if Bud wasn't willing to do that, he would have been fired by the Hawks just because he didn't, you know, fit anyone's eyes. Now he's beaten them in a conference finals and he's going to the finals.
Wow. just wow. That's all that's really going through my head right now. Like, I feel like we should talk about this game a little bit.
Yeah, but like, of course we're going to talk about the game.
Yes, no, we will. Jordan, what is it? What does this just mean to you personally?
Because
we all have like a personal, like, we try to be as objective as possible. We're all like invested,
Jordan,
in this personally.
You're just about to finish up a behind the book pass after all these years, after all,
yes, 6 years,
thousands of hours. Trust me, I know, I've been there. I had this great fantasy of riding out into the sunset, and instead they lost to the Miami Heat in the second round at Disneyland. Instead, you are going to come to the finals. What does that mean to you? Because that means a lot to me, and I'm not even you.
It means more writing. No, I'm joking. it's just, again, it's not just this season, even though, I mean, the highs and lows are just like the Nets series and just kind of like, you want to feel like abandoning ship. Rick Carlisle gets fired. Everybody's like, get him.
I did that. Before the season. I did that.
Same here. And it's just like, I think ultimately the feeling of them finally reaching this point, and you see like the last few years, especially when the Bucks are actually competitive, when they actually have a chance to get to this point, and you just see like the Heat, the Lakers, like the Warriors, LeBron, basically, if you see LeBron, you see the Warriors a couple years ago before they finished out their run, the Heat last year, all this stuff, and you just wish that that's your team above all else. And for a small market team, and I know like hitting that kind of thing, like just kind of gets in the cliche territory, but it always feels like the game is rigged against you. People still bring up 2001, and we talked about it the other day. Like the fact that this, it just felt like everything is going against the Bucks or just being a small market team in general. And then, as I said with Giannis, it hits, you know, like a billion in one shot and makes everything possible that we're experiencing today. It's just, there's nothing like it. And we've seen, it's not like Wisconsin sports teams have not been great recently. Like I've seen the Packers win two Super Bowls in my lifetime. I've seen the Brewers go to two conference, NLCSs, that's what they called. Like all this stuff, like we haven't been robbed of success or anything like that. It sucks when you get to that point and it's heartbreaking and all the stuff that we can just, you know, recount like in the back of our hand and all that stuff. But now, like, it's out of the window for me right now. They're at the finals. This is all you wanted to see and dream of and all that stuff. It's just, I don't know. It's crazy.
Rohan, you're asking too many questions. What does this mean to you?
The light is swinging back towards Rohan's way.
I mean, like, I haven't been nearly as invested in this team as much as you guys have, like, throughout, like, in terms of time and stuff like that. Like, out of, like, us four, I'm the one who's joined the latest. Like, Adam, you were talking earlier about your first ever work for writing. My first ever writing, first of all, was awful. Please do not look it up. It was about how the Milwaukee Bucks, like, after having, like, a surprise playoff run in the 14-15 season, just completely fell on their face the next season. And it's like, oh man, how much has changed in the last year? Like, that's what it was about. That was my introduction to Milwaukee Bucks coverage.
That season, man.
And now we're here. Like, I can only echo what you guys have said previously, but just seeing this team go through, like, I feel like I'm the youngest one of the four. I feel like I've grown up with this team a little bit. Like, I feel like I've matured with this team. And just seeing them go through these battles, like, I've dealt with my own personal battles. This year sucked for me personally. I've been through too much personal trauma to really get into. But seeing them just reach the mountaintop and, like, it inspires you. You feel like, oh, if they can do it, why can't I? It's this sort of, like, you can always keep going. You can always keep fighting. No matter what hits, no matter what outside pressures really hit, like, because if there's anything, it's outside pressure that's really impacted this Milwaukee Bucks franchise throughout the years. It all started with, like, the NBA itself being like, okay, we're going to move you to Seattle, to now, like, just media pressure being like, oh, what's Giannis going to do? Oh, is this team good enough? Is Chris Middleton good enough? Like,
all who's Batman?
Exactly. Like, whatever. Sure. But all of those outside pressures sort of, they can get to people. They can get, because these are human beings. Like, it's a franchise, everything like that. But, like, they're humans. Like, everyone gets affected by things. It's how you keep going. And this team just keeps going. Like, this journey's not over. And because, like, they're one of two teams standing, their names are etched in the history books forever. Forever. Not just franchise history, just NBA history books. It's just a story of how you can keep fighting. And that's why I really gravitated toward this team throughout the years. It's like, you can have the worst opportunities presented to you, but even though you have the worst odds, you can still get there. That's what this team is showing.
Yeah, and I think the point you make there that I think really stands out to me is, like, this team has been good for a few years and they've been really close. And they're really close and they haven't got it. That thing they're after, as you said, this is something that everyone could relate to on a personal level. It's there, it's within grasp, and they just haven't got it. And they've, on occasions, fallen embarrassingly short of something that it seemed like was within their grasp. But you do look at them now and you look at a team that has grown, a team that has matured, and a team that just really doesn't get affected by that noise in the same way it used to. This is a team now that looks like, you know, they can win. They don't just look like it. They've done it. Like, they've done it, particularly the last two series. You know, it doesn't matter what tough spot they found themselves in against the Brooklyn Nets, against the best player in the NBA, for my money. they found a way through that. It doesn't matter that, you know, they take a couple of punches in this series and then they find themselves without the two-time MVP, without their best player, their talisman. They find a way to get it done. Like, it was something that came up on the last pod. We talked about, you know, how this Chris Middleton's different to the Chris Middleton of 2 years ago. I think he is very much representative of this team in terms of, you know, the journey from where they were to where they are now, because there wasn't a guy on this team who could come up with a 20 or 25 point quarter when it really mattered 2 years ago, where now it's just like someone does it. Someone comes up with the play. And honestly, it blows my mind every time. It's the kind of thing that we'd see them play really good, like beautiful basketball times, particularly say early Bud's first year. There was some really good stuff, but it would come down to the clutch and you're like, are they going to get a shot? Is actually, you know, I should stick with that, because there'd be often times where they wouldn't get a shot and you're like, well, that was a complete mess. That was happening earlier this season, but they've just suddenly clicked into a different mental gear where they're finding ways to score when they need to. They're finding ways to get stops when they need to. And increasingly, I just look at like more and more guys in this roster and I'm like, they're winners. They're winners. The Bucks have a team full of winners. That's who you get to this point, but it's also what could carry them across the line and could mean this isn't the only championship, or the only trophy, I should say, that we're going to be talking about, that we're going to be celebrating in the next few weeks. That's insane. All of this is insane. It is like a fever dream. It really is. When Jordan put up his tweet of him drinking from the winning six mug, that nearly tipped me over the edge. I looked from that tweet to Chris Middleton with a trophy in his hands and I was like, I need to get a grip. I need to pull myself together. I've got to go on a podcast. But there's a chance a few weeks from now that I will just be in pieces, and I'm hoping so for all the right reasons, because this has been quite a journey for this team. And as you said, Ron, four games, four wins, you know, we've got a 7-game series, get four of them, the Milwaukee Bucks will be the NBA champions.
And one quick thing I just want to add in to talk about Chris and Brooke to an extent too. Like, it's not just that year of falling short against Toronto when, you know, we all thought, like, after that happened and immediately after the game, we all remember this, there was the, oh, Giannis is going to, another run to the finals is going to contemplate his future, all that stuff. And it set off and then obviously this circle was closed before the start of this season. But like, we thought that was their best chance. They had everything there.
We thought that a few weeks ago, right? If we're honest, like, yes. I mean, I would still have thought a few weeks ago, if you'd asked me, like, gun to my head, is the Bucks' best chance of getting to the finals? Is their best chance of winning a championship? Was that 2019?
Yep.
I probably would have said yes.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, we just the players that they had, all that stuff. Even, I mean, we crapped on Mirotic before, but like, we all thought that was a good addition.
Sure.
It made them deeper.
It's still a good trade, in my opinion.
That's the thing, though. They were so much deeper then than they are now.
Exactly. Well, yeah, we're talking about Jeff Teague of all people.
the depth is scary, and they've got to the finals, which in its own right is instructive in a different way, and is something that I think we'll take from. It really does matter, you know, what you've got at the top end. I love Ersan Ilyasova. Does it matter that he's not there as an 8th or 9th guy? No, it absolutely does not. You know, you need Drew Holiday, and you need to, you know, pay to get Brook Lopez back, and you need to basically lock in those top spots, which I've done. But the other thing too that I think about, and you mentioned Brook too, it's like, Chris and Brook, think about Chris and Brook were as players. I know it's different time periods where this happened for them, but before they came to the Milwaukee Bucks,
yeah,
and like what they've made themselves into along with the
Bobby
team.
Bobby Portis,
Drew Holiday, yeah. A really good player, could never get over the hump. You can hear like at the end of his interview when he started to address his teammates and his voice starts to crack because he's been there. So what, like, we didn't hear from PJ Tucker, who's been on those Rockets teams,
he got drafted by the Raptors, but spent 5 of his first 6 years playing overseas. Like, And back to Chris and Brooke, they played in for Team USA, the first Team USA to lose in an international competition in like 15 years. And everybody said that was a joke team. They had all these players back out. They, you know what I mean? Like that's there. It's not just the Bucks thing. It's obviously the players that they added that weren't necessarily on the Bucks, you know, even just a couple of months ago, like in PJ Tucker's case. But like, there's all this adversity and motivation that has been behind this run. And obviously the organization itself, how we talked about the ownership previously, the big decisions that they may have made or may have not made. And just like, how can you make a championship caliber roster? We heard that for a long time, dating back to like John Hammond days. And all that is validated. They're, I mean, to the simplest meaning of that word, they're going to play for a championship. What? I mean, they still have something to prove in terms of just actually winning it all, but like, they're there. We're there.
They've something to prove in terms of winning it all, 100%. But there is also, like, I just think this is a complete, like, paradigm shift moment. Let's say the worst happens. And, you know, considering what the worst has been at times for the Bucks in recent years, if the worst that can happen is they lose the NBA Finals, you know, it's quite the come up. But what it does for the franchise, like, we talk about really transforming how people view the franchise. So it's not, you know, small market Milwaukee, you know, kind of throw away who wants to go to Milwaukee for the finals. It's not kind of, oh, the Bucks, who are the Bucks? Like, we've seen the gradual progression of this and we've seen this change, and this takes it to a whole nother level. You know, all the guys who wanted to come and play for the Bucks tail end of their career, whatever as it might be, already the Bucks have just entered a completely new stratosphere. You know, the Bucks have entered a place where it doesn't mean you get here once, you get back again. And that's something I think we'll talk about, and the players and everyone will have to be very conscious of over the next couple of weeks. You know, back in 1974, I think a lot of people inside the organization would have been confident, oh, you know, that was a tough break, but we'll be back here soon. And 47 years later, here we are. But the belief, the confidence, everything that will come with this going forward, you know, if you want to build something where this may not be a one-off, or where you can at least believe in it year to year, this is the biggest step you can take. This is the biggest step you can take. The Bucks have changed from the team that they have been, from the franchise that they have been for over 40 years. They are not those guys anymore. It's pretty special. I'm not going to lie. This is a pretty special night.
It's just, it's a legacy night. That's what it is, realistic, for every single person involved. Like John Horst, if you want to start there for some reason, because that's who saw the trophy first. I don't know. These are weird presentations.
That was very weird. Particularly, does that not normally go to an owner?
And yeah, that's what
Edens
I thought
was
too.
There.
Disheveled even.
I think all the I saw Edens, Lazzari, and Mike Fascitelli.
Jamie Dimon, what you doing, man?
Why didn't Mike Fascitelli get presented with the trophy?
He should have brought back his mustache.
That would be
incredible. I got the mustache right here. Look at it, right there.
You oh, yeah, tweet this clip out. Tweet this clip out. Well, but yeah, for some reason, John Horst got presented the Eastern Conference championship trophy first. But yeah, John Horst, he's had a solid legacy. I mean, like, he in his like second season, he gets executive of the year, and it's like, oh, how is a team like Milwaukee with all of the options he gives out, which are still problematic? But that's an off-season pod issue. These sort of things, like, can he build a championship contender? Yes, he did. The Bucks are in the finals. Can Giannis lead a team? Can Giannis be the best player on a team in the finals? Yes, the Bucks are in the finals. Can Chris Middleton be a good, like a second option in the finals? Yes. Chris Middleton just won the Milwaukee Bucks, well, played a big part in helping the Milwaukee Bucks win games 5 and game 6 to advance to the NBA Finals. Yes. Is Drew Holiday the upgrade they needed? Yes. Is every other addition to the roster, like, are these good additions? Do they help this team in their quest for a title? Yes. Every single one of these questions has been answered. And like a finals appearance for like a player's legacy is incredible. Incredible. Not a lot of people get there. This is a very rare thing, which is why we're talking this up so much. Not many.
Chris Paul, franchises. Right? Think of the other
yes,
side of it.
Exactly.
Chris Paul has just got here. This... like all-time great, one of the best point guards of all time. Undoubtedly one of the best players of the last 15 years of the NBA. It's taken him all this time to get there. Like guys like Giannis and Chris, look at the years they have left to go and do this. Giannis in particular, they're there now and they have their first chance at it now. Like there's so many great players who go their whole career and do not get to this point. So many. Someone like James Harden, like for all of the accolades he has, for his place in the history books, if his career finishes right now, he's never been there. Look around the NBA, just incredible players. He has?
Okay, see.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Was he really there? Yeah, he was.
Yes, he was.
I don't remember him really being there, but he was. He was. But, you know, you get the point. I can give you other names if we
want. No. I don't want to discredit. Like, that's a fantastic point. The Chris Paul discussion, the Chris Paul love, it's all deserved. Let me say that. But that just speaks to how momentous this occasion is for not only this team, this franchise, but for every single player involved. This doesn't happen. Like, Jordan, you were talking about, like, the Lakers, the Warriors. Like, these franchises are used to it. Like, the players that go there, they're used to, like, they go there with the intention of doing this, right? For a team like the Milwaukee Bucks, this is rarefied air. It's rarefied air in general, but especially for a team that has like is built with like a disadvantage. They're a disadvantage in terms of like the NBA landscape. And they just went out there and proved like, hey, we can do this. We're going to do this. And they went out there and did it.
And I mean, again, to like in the next month, they could win a championship, all pick up rings, and then the three best players could end up going off to the Olympics to chase like gold medals and possibly be, you know, their best player be the biggest threat to their second and third best players in that kind of mix. The Greeks have one more game to get there, but to their credit, they're within a game without Giannis, without Thanasis, without so many of their key players. Like, and you've got Drew and Chris on. Again, not as Jordan pointed out, you know, not the joke team now. You know, everyone wanted to dismiss that team a couple of years ago. No one is going to be doing that with this team. And yet two of the Bucks' best players are there. And all you have to do is look at this game. Like they combined for 59 points, 16 assists, and 7 steals. And honestly, I feel like Drew's being cheated there somewhat. But there's no doubting just how good these guys are. Like... I'm not giving any disrespect to any former Bucks. Every Buck, anyone who's ever pulled on a Bucks jersey, part of, well, maybe not everyone, not you, Nikola Mirotic, but everyone else, this moment, you know, in part belongs to you. But a lot of talk about big trees over the years, and the Bucks have had some like legitimate all-time big trees, and then some big trees that were just, you know, special places in everyone's heart, but maybe not quite what you need to get over the line. This is a big tree that's good enough to get you over the line.
Yeah,
that's
why we're here, Bobby. I mean, I agree right with you.
I mean, like you have to play the cards you're dealt. Like that's like these things happen. Like I know that's a joke, obviously, but they needed.
No, Jordan's serious. He thinks Bobby's part of it. I'm stunned into silence. But
now, Drew, Chris, and Bobby are good enough to win you a conference finals game. Like, to win 2 conference finals games.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there was also Brook Lopez.
I mean, yes, that's also fair. But
I know you're the cult leader, but let's not have this get out of hand completely.
Yeah, I can't even get mad at that. I can't. I'm too overjoyed.
And Pat Connaughton. Let's not forget Pat.
Yeah, oh, Ty's missing out. He could have.
Go on, Jordan.
I mean, going back to the game, because it was part of the actual minutes I saw live. I had to work tonight, but seeing PJ Tucker hit that 3.
You missed a lot of pain.
Yeah. And it's like that in itself of everything that you talked about of like things just not going their way. And all that, it was like, it was a metaphor for PJ's game and just winning the finals. But it was also like, there was more than just this year or that moment behind that shot. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like in years past, particularly at one infamous occasion, he or any of his teammates weren't able to hit a shot at the end with a batter deep. They might have hit them at the start and then not hit anymore. But yeah, for him to actually get one, and an important shot, like, it helped to close the game out. It really did. It was needed. It's funny, like, for they're not where they are without the best quarter of Chris's career in the third. They scored 44 points as a team, which they needed every one of those. They needed every point they got tonight. Like, they needed all Jeff Teague's 11 points. There's a difference between this game going to overtime or not. Like,
a Teague of their own, baby.
This is the Teague game. This is playoff Teague.
When you're going to the finals.
I don't know if you saw after the game when Jeff Teague was like, he was having a moment himself. He was walking down the tunnel and he was just pumping his fists. And I was like, yes, Jeff Teague.
He's actually riled up.
Just incredible, incredible stuff. A guy that I might be rooting harder for to succeed and get a ring than any other Bucks fan. Yeah, I've got a lot of baggage there. I got a lot of baggage with this series in general. You know, it's complicated. As I did tweet about it, I could have come to this podcast wearing 3 Jeff Teague jerseys. I do own 3 Jeff Teague jerseys. I started to look for them and I went, you know what, I'll be too warm. Let's just, you know, we could save that for the finals, Jeff Teague.
Was your plan to wear all 3 at once?
I just thought I promised on Twitter was what I was going to do.
Where you put on as many Jeff Teague jerseys as
I could also put on like the Grievous Vasquez jersey. I also, there's a Jabari jersey. So my Bucks jersey look has not been good. Let's hope my Brook jersey doesn't arrive till like after the finals. But
shout out to Justin Superbuck with the Moist Jordan Chris Middleton jersey.
Wow. That's a lot. It's a lot. I respect Justin for doing that, but that's a lot.
If you're a basketball junkie, then you know there's no better time of year than the NBA playoffs. Twice a week, JJ Redick is cooking on his podcast, The Old Man and the Three. He has guys come on in all stages of their careers to talk about the league and share stories you won't hear anywhere else, including Devin Booker on why he talks so much trash, Ray Allen's epic free throw competitions with LeBron in Miami, and the moment Tyrese Halliburton knew Pascal Siakam would be a good fit in Indy. In addition to player interviews, every Monday, JJ breaks down the top 3 things happening around the NBA with unmatched analysis, not outlandish takes, and is often joined by masterminds of the game like Tim Legler to dive deep on rookie reports, trade breakdowns, and why is mean mugging now a tech? You won't find another outlet that covers the game as comprehensively and with such insight as JJ does it on The Old Man and the Three. Make this your companion podcast during the playoffs. Listen to The Old Man and the Three ad-free on Wondery Plus or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
A man does sweat, I'll say that. But yeah, just I don't know how we're talking.
Let's go to the game. Come on.
Yes, I was like, I don't know how we're talking about Jeff T jerseys here.
Well, because we're gonna have to talk about him again.
Yes. Yes. Jeff Teague does play in this game.
Oh, are you gonna lead with Teague?
Yeah, why not? We're already talking about him.
Okay.
So he comes into the game and you can immediately see, well, at least I see my Twitter timeline, just collectively groan, right? And I was a part that, I mean, I didn't tweet about it. I've been not tweeting as much during games because I don't want to jinx it, and I've been a little bit behind, but that's a different story. But Jeff Teague comes in, and immediately the Hawks go on a run, and that's because of Danilo Gallinari and not Jeff Teague. I will say
correct.
That.
Correct. You did Jeff tweet Teague, about that.
Yes, I did. Jeff Teague was not the cause of those problems. And then he starts to hit shots, and people are like, oh. Oh, well, Adam, you know this for sure because you were getting all of the Jeff T game mentions.
I think the second tree went in and I got like within 20 seconds, like I got 8 mentions of, you know, some variation of T game, Jeff T game. Jordan came in later. He finished up work and like the third Jeff T triple went in. Jordan got in on the act. I appreciate all of you who were, you know, stayed true, true believers. And we got our
believers.
But I didn't actually groan when T came into the game. And part of the reason for that is Bryn Forbes was not good again. He did hit a couple of shots.
Literally
a couple, but not good minutes. And I think he was worse than, like, at that point, I was like, sure, Teague's coming in. Thanasis had got a minute where, you know what, maybe, it hurts me to say this, but maybe this is too deep in the playoffs for the Thanasis experience. Maybe this is just too, these waters are very deep. With the way he flaps his arms around, I don't know if he could stay afloat. Maybe it's just too dicey. Because at that point, I really thought, my God, Pat is all they've got here. Like, Pat is really, and we talked about this in the last episode, it's like they really ideally would just be a six-man rotation, except there's nothing ideal about only being able to be a six-man rotation. And Teague came up with the goods. I mean, there aren't too many nights in Jeff Teague's career where he's attempted 3 triples and he's made all of them. In fact, I would say there are very, very few of those. And for it to happen on this night in that arena is just, it's poetry. It's truly, truly special. And Jeff Teague had the game that, you know, former Hawk being brought into this Bucks team, the Bucks connection, everything. He had the game that everyone would have expected Kyle Korver to have at a moment like this a year ago. Who knew that Jeff Teague was really the sharpshooter who was going to come in from Bud's Hawks and push the Bucks over the edge when it mattered most? That's what happened. 3 of 3 from deep. Jeff Teague, take a bow.
I'm stunned. I have no words. I forgot about Kyle Korver, if I'm being completely honest.
Wow, that's rude.
Yeah, no, Kyle Korver seems like a great guy. But yeah, I completely forgot he was on the team last year. And just him, that's a wild thing to say that he's the sharpshooter that comes in for the Atlanta Hawks. I mean, you're not wrong.
The truth hurts. The truth hurts.
It does.
Rowan.
It does. Like, I'm so shook that that's a fact.
I've taken a lot of strays this playoff series for the performances of certain books. You know, some deserved, some not deserved. But this is my moment. This is my moment.
This
I
is
called
your moment
the
T
game
way.
Weeks ago. No one believed me, not even me. But here we are. Jeff Teague has brought the Bucks to the NBA Finals.
I believe. Did you say that during the Brooklyn preview or the Miami preview?
I think it was in the Miami. I think it was before the playoffs started when we maybe did we was our first crossover episode just before the Heat series?
Yes. Yep.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was our first crossover episode. So I, you know, strutted on to the Eurostep Podcast Network. Put my cards on the table. The Jeff T game's coming. I hope you all went to the bank with that.
I mean, Mike Budenholzer did. Like, we could say that for sure. But I know Jeff Teague is the star in your heart, Adam.
Sure.
But tonight, the real stars, well, the biggest star was Chris Middleton. The biggest star was absolutely Chris Middleton. He put on an absolute show.
Can I interrupt you just to ask, because this is, we might be able to have some fun with this, because Jordan has only seen about 4 minutes of this game, and really, we knew this was perfect. Like, this, if ever there was a vibes episode of the podcast, this was it. So Jordan was drafted in to be vibes guy, and I think that's perfect for you. It's a role you enjoy too. Do you actually know how many points Chris Middleton had in the first half? You might have seen it on Twitter, but I'm just curious.
No, I don't think I. Well, if I he had 23 in the third quarter, right?
Mm-hmm. He's so gonna get close as a result, but yeah,
four,
five. Six? He had 5 points in the first half. It was really, really bad. Like really bad, where I was like, oh, this isn't going to be fun. Like, even if they get to the finals, we're going to have a conversation about just a really grim disappearing act from Chris. And then he had 23 points in the third quarter and literally looked more unstoppable than he's ever looked in his life. And there are Hawks players who are going to have nightmares. I think John Collins, even going back to the previous Chris game, just will never want to see it again. Just across the board, everyone, like Bogdanović, who's a game defender who gives good effort if he's not necessarily the best. He saw plenty of shots dropped over his head. Kevin Huerter, for all of the fight he put in this series, he saw Chris make a lot of shots. It was just a shot-making masterclass of the level that, like, very, very small number of guys in the NBA are even capable of. But sorry, I interrupted you, Rohan, to get the perspective to see, did Jordan have any idea how bad it was? Because when you look at 32 points, you're like, wow, what a performance. And really, he had to turn that all the way up in such a short space of time. It's unbelievable he did it.
It really is. It was a miracle. Not a miracle.
Yeah, but, no, let's call it a miracle.
Yes. Not like I was trying to say, it was like that third quarter. Yes, that was a miracle. It was a miracle that also the Bucks were winning in that first half, realistically, because the Hawks were really starting to close that gap in that second quarter. Like the first quarter, they really, you know, they neither team really could buy a
The Hawks were terrible, like in the first half. The Bucks were very bad, but they were clearly the better team. Like, I do feel like, and I felt at the time, like the Bucks are going to win this game. Now, I thought it could be very uncomfortable before Chris did that. And guess what? It was uncomfortable anyway. But yes. The Hawks super bad, which was very helpful to the Bucks.
No, they were so bad. Like, I say it's a miracle that the Bucks were winning at half, because we've seen this story before. We've absolutely seen this story before. We see the Bucks just come out, they shoot flat, they can't make a single jumper to save their lives. We've seen it too many times this postseason. Like, my goodness, this is just going to be a yearly thing. I can tell. It already has been, I guess. But it comes out again. They're shooting less than 40% from the field, 5 of 19 from 3, and it's like, oh God, it's happening. It's happening again. And then the third quarter hits, and Chris Middleton puts the team, puts the franchise on his back. Goes 8 for 12 in the quarter, 4 of 7 from deep. It seemed like both teams finally, like the floodgates finally opened in that third quarter for three-point shooting. More so for the Bucks, realistically, because they shoot 9 of 18 from 3 in that quarter. Meanwhile, the Hawks are 3 of 9, but 3 threes for the Hawks in a quarter is still, that was good for that first half. But Chris Middleton, when he gets going, he is one of the most dangerous players in the entire NBA. If that first shot falls and then the next one hits, just run. Just cower in fear, because there is an avalanche coming. If Chris Middleton, after getting cold, hits two shots in a row, just like kiss your loved ones goodbye. Like, my goodness, that's absolutely what happened. Shot after shot after shot. He was that entire Bucks offense. It was just like, okay, give me the ball. I'm bringing the ball up the court. I am doing what I need to do. And the entire team's like, yeah, go for it. Like, you're hot. Do this. Giannis said it best at the end of, I can't, what game was it? Game 3, I believe, or game 4? Game 3.
Well, it was game 3,
because it was his big, the comeback.
The day Chris retires.
Yes, yeah. That game, where he was like, I trust Chris to death, so if he wants the ball, I'm giving him the ball. The entire team was like, yeah, we trust you too, Chris. And Chris absolutely delivered. I have no words for his performance. I've been a Chris Middleton stan, as the kids say. I don't know, I'm not old. But
you're a kid.
That's a little strong.
You are the kids, Ron.
That's a little strong.
You're Jason.
But
that's we don't want to word it like that. No.
Yeah, let's
we don't want to say Rowan's kid adjacent. So
let's move on swiftly and say that Chris Middleton, like I've been a stan of Chris Middleton. The Eurostep podcast has been a strictly pro Chris Middleton podcast, though he has had us sort of been like, are we a pro Chris Middleton podcast? But we've stuck through it.
And that's the experience, right? And yes. we touched on this the other day. It's like, yeah, he's not Kevin Durant. And he's not Giannis. So there is that gap there that everyone has to reckon with. Everyone has to, you know, understand it's not going to be every game. But with the player he's become, is he the guy the Suns are going to be most worried about over the next few days? Like, he's the one where they've got to get it right. They have a player or two who can guard him. But he's the one that, even if Giannis is back and Giannis as well, if you let Chris get away from you, you know, you're in big trouble against this Bucks team. And with how he's playing, with how he's feeling, with just how easy it seems to be for him to catch fire in an instant, I think his whole status and even how he'll figure into an opposing team's game plan in the NBA Finals, is going to be pretty interesting to watch play out over the next couple of weeks.
Drew just said Chris is the heart of this team and Giannis is the soul of this team. And without them, we really wouldn't be here, obviously.
Drew is the hands of this team.
Yeah.
I think that's Bobby Portis.
No, it's definitely Drew. I'm just...
No, Bobby's is the eyes of this team.
Yes, there we go. Correct.
Bobby correct. Will use his eyes to use his hands for this team.
Bobby, like... Look, we've talked a lot about Bobby. This was not Bobby's best game, so we probably won't talk a lot about him in some ways here yesterday. But I actually thought that was a really big moment yesterday for Bobby. What day was yesterday? So people can...
Friday.
Thank you, Jordan. Friday, for those of you who may be listening after the fact. But when, like, the old story, the famous Bobby Portis story starts to circulate around Twitter about how his pregame routine was he used to imagine opposing players slapping his mother, and that's how he got himself psyched up to guard them. And this was going around, and people were like, yeah, but Bobby Portis guy's a bit different. And Bobby, who is incredibly online, jumped in to be like, yeah, you know, I've matured since then. That's not who I am anymore. And I was like, you know what? Good for you. And I'm very glad to hear that that's not what he has to do to get himself in the right place. And you know what? I think it's not a coincidence that he's finding himself contributing to a winning team now that he's no longer going through that particular pregame routine. Imagine your locker being next to Bobby Portis and that's still what he was doing. Like, that doesn't seem ideal. Maybe that's what happened with Mirotić.
Maybe that is what happened. We will never know the answer to that. And I'm kind of glad because we can actually make like fun.
He did drop that in his post game.
Did he?
His podium availability after the last game when he was asked questions. He was like, on his career so far. And he's like, I've had bust ups and everything. I'm like, damn right, you've had bust ups, Bobby. We all know about it. And we're fully in support of you in that case.
Oh man, but yeah, not the greatest game for Bobby Portis, but it has been a great series for
Bobby. Look, he made some plays when it mattered, though, which is kind of the story for a lot of players. Are we going to Drew next? Is Drew the place to?
Yeah. So I guess Drew Holiday, you mentioned Adam, he is the hands of this team. He was an absolute menace on the defensive end. Absolute menace. We sort of hadn't seen fully locked in Drew Holiday being like full San Antonio Spurs Kawhi Leonard in this postseason until this series. Like, we were kind of wondering, like, oh, when's it going to happen? Is it going to happen in the Miami series? No, not really. Is it going to happen during the Brooklyn series? I mean, it's a little better. It happened. It happened this series, and the epitome of that was this game. That is one of the greatest individual defensive performances that I've ever seen. He was picking up every single member of the Atlanta Hawks at the same time, it felt like. Like, he was everywhere on a given possession. Like, he would go from Trey to Gallo. Like, he didn't start on Trey. That was an interesting wrinkle. But it was just like, okay, whoever's in front of me, I'm going to guard them. It doesn't matter if they're like a foot taller than me. I'm going to make their life hell on the offensive end, and I'm most likely going to win this interaction. And we just haven't seen that fully locked in Drew Holiday. We're going to need that for the NBA Finals, by the way. If you guys didn't know, the Milwaukee Bucks are in the NBA Finals against two absolutely elite guards in Chris Paul and Devin Booker. But that was incredible. His off-ball awareness was incredible. His on-ball defense, his on-ball strength, his just his hands in terms of getting steals. It was incredible, and that's not even mentioning what he was doing on the offensive end.
Yeah, he was, he was the guy at the start of the game who, again, which he has done a few times in this series, he's come out and he's found something early. He's breaking out just incredible moves. He just seems to have to split defenders, find the smallest of avenues, get to the rim, and come up with like a really acrobatic finish. And he's leveled up in that in the playoffs compared to even what he was doing in the regular season. But, I mean, you really hit the nail on the head there. Like, this is about his defense. And I think right from the beginning of the game, it was the defense that set the tone for the Bucks. I liked where they started because it was the defense that was fueling their offense. And I was like, if this is the way the game's going to be played, Bucks are going to win. You know, if they're dialed in defensively and they're going to stop the Hawks from scoring, Bucks are going to win. This is their game, and it will be the same thing will apply on a game-to-game basis in the next round. It's like if the Bucks are, you know, right on top of it defensively, they are a hard, hard team to beat. I don't think anyone can beat them. And even better, when you're seeing kind of the tangible results of that fueling their offense, when it's creating fast break opportunities, or even when it's kind of just demoralizing the Hawks, which I think is something that happened early. Obviously, they rallied back, but you could feel a real tangible kind of effect of that in the first few minutes as the Bucks broke the trend of the series so far and were a road team who actually didn't start like 10 minutes late. They showed up for opening tip and they got themselves in the game. And that was because of Drew Holiday on both ends. As the game went on, and particularly as Chris got far in the third quarter, Drew kind of got out of the way, but he got out of the way and got back on defense and made the right plays and made the right passes to find Chris. I think, again, his passing, just a lot of heads up plays. Like, both Chris and Drew had a lot of turnovers in this game. Not in the second half. That's really what got the Bucks the win, is they tidied that up. But it's something I know that you and I have talked about kind of over the past couple of months, Jordan. I don't mind it. I honestly don't mind it. If Chris and Drew are having turnovers, they're really working to make something happen offensive. There's nights where that just might only amount to the turnovers and you lose the game. But there's an aggressiveness that's there. Yeah, they have to be so much more aggressive in this scenario. It's like, do you want them to have zero turnovers and the Bucks to be down by 15? It's not necessarily always as simple as, oh, turnovers, they're not playing well. They're having to force it, like particularly these last two games. Those two guys have had to play in a different way and force something for the good of the team. And they both did it. And Drew, just as you said, one of the best defensive performances I've ever seen. Like, we invoked the name of Kawhi Leonard with how he was stealing in the last game. Like, this was a full-on Kawhi Leonard performance. This is incredible. You look at this and you're like, why was Drew Holiday not in the top three for defensive player of the year? And why, like,
he said it himself.
Yeah, I was gonna say he wonders the same thing.
But yeah, it's incredible. There's no one like that. Like Rudy Gobert, come Fraud. On.
He dares. Fraud. He dares. Sorry.
Just, it's a different kind of defense. And this has obviously been an one matters discussion one with the type of defense that can often win you defensive player of the year, and then the type of defense that can win you a championship when you get to the playoffs. Drew has that latter type, you know, down. He's got that all figured out, and that will never be more important than in the finals, like, because he's going to be splitting time between one of Chris Paul or Devin Booker for every single second he's on the floor. I think he'd be up to the challenge too. Like, the Bucks could not ask for a better player to take on that challenge. It doesn't mean that you're going to win that battle. Like,
we'll find out is basically my only answer to that. The Suns are a really good team. Can I admit maybe they're the first team that I fully respect in this playoff run? I was dismissive of the Nets so long.
The Hawks.
I respected the Hawks for how they played, what the they Clippers. Did, how they got there.
Yeah.
But their kind of overall composition as a team and what I thought they could be, how I thought the Bucks should play against them and how that would all shake out, I was very confident. Never in a dismissive way, because the Hawks definitely earned their respect and have earned it, you know, going forward. They're a different team. We talk about how this changes things for the Bucks. The Hawks will have to be viewed as a completely different team in the East, given the age profile of their team and given some of the opportunities that will be there for them now. But the Suns are different, and this, for the Bucks to have a chance to win the series, they're going to really need Chris and Drew to be at their very best, and maybe even beyond some of the best we've seen, depending how exactly things shake out with Giannis.
The battle for Torrey Craig.
Oh, yes. Torrey Craig is... He's
guaranteed
got
a ring. He's an NBA champion.
It's true.
Which, what a luxurious
position. DJ Augustine, not so much.
He's not guaranteed one. He's not guaranteed.
Yeah, exactly.
He definitely has a still chance. Get one, which...
Yeah. That's true.
Are we sure? Is that
DJ Wilson might get a ring.
I have less of a problem with that than I do with DJ Augustine.
Who else could get a ring? Is that it? Or is that the only roster to know? Is that
well, there's one guy I could mention, but
yes, I don't know if the book should be giving a certain.
Forgot about him already. And yeah. No. I legitimately forgot. That's how much I care. I have no idea where to lead this.
Pat Connaughton. Let's work our way through players. It's nice and simple.
Incredible yes. performance. It was reminiscent of game 6 and 7 against Brooklyn, the way Pat Connaughton really showed up, especially game 6, where they needed a win, Milwaukee did, and Pat Connaughton showed up in the best way possible. Given he did not shoot 100% from 3 in this game, it was only 3 of 6, but getting 3 threes from Pat Connaughton is still incredible. And just the way he was getting offensive rebounds, like he was only credited with 1 offensive rebound, but that's because he had a lot of tap outs. He was all over the glass. He was getting steals. He was doing everything that they needed him to do in this game. Like, we've talked a lot about, is Pat Connaughton a shooting guard? Do you put him down at the 4 as his best position? At the end of the day, Pat Connaughton is a Pat Connaughton, and he's going to do what he wants on the basketball court. And in these playoffs, it's been a good thing. I was thinking this during the game, like, Ty's starting to convince me a little bit. He's not, not there yet. Absolutely not there yet. But
this is a kind of euphoria that I understand more coming out of this. I think Ty was a couple of games early with this particular kind of scorching hot take on it. You know, I think anything could fly tonight. I think you could come out with just about anything.
To be clear, to everyone who's not aware, yeah, we're talking about Ty Widdish saying that Pat Compton's jersey should be retired.
I think most people are listening now are probably aware, because even if they missed the pod, they may have seen on Twitter where people are like, what has gotten into this guy Ty Windish? But yeah,
I have been memed. Things have happened.
He's got Pat Compton fever, and who can blame him? Because Pat is making shots. You know, I remember saying it from the day he signed. I don't know how many times I've said it. I've definitely lost count. All along, he's looked like a guy who, you know, should be able to make shots. He's got a pretty nice shooting motion, and he's smart. He'll run off screens. He's actually just a really good mover without the ball. Like, that goes to his cutting as well. But he'll get himself in positions to make really good offensive plays, and yet for most of his time with the Bucks, he hasn't been able to make shots. That's really changed in the playoffs. At least it feels like it has. I'm actually going to pull up his numbers now in a second in case I'm imagining that. But even if they aren't kind of dazzling, he is again, like, it goes to just what's the change in this team. He's coming up with the big shots that matter. You know, he is able to produce shots that in the past, just forget about it. They weren't going to happen. And in addition to that, I mean, he's always been a good rebounder due to his athleticism. He's coming up trumps it as rebounding. His defense, like in this game, I thought Pat's defense was great. And like they subbed Bobby out late and it was like we're riding with Pat, and that was quite clearly because of the defense. But yeah, you know, like Pat's 34.5% in the playoffs from deep. I mean, it's somewhat better than he sometimes shoots, but it's not like it's not dazzling. He feels like it's better than that. He's making really big shots.
I think it also speaks to just like, because I was looking at Chris and Drew's like splits this series, and it's like before tonight, I should say. And you see, like Chris is like shooting like it was something. Or Basketball Reference hasn't updated yet, probably. As I fill time, yeah, he was hitting 24% of his threes this series. And you're just like, what? But just like the weight of each shot, each possession, all that stuff. It just, like we've gotten used to it the last couple of years, but it just hits a different level when you're winning and it's not necessarily great all the time or like what you describe as like perfect basketball. But and how the Bucks have won this throughout this playoff run, it has not been pretty, clearly, at times. But they, I believe, are still the best defense, obviously, of two teams left already, but the best defensive rating of any playoff team. They have found their niche and style of how they want to play and how what they have on the floor, and obviously in just in the rotation. And it has just worked. It's worked, whether it's we're talking about Chris, we're talking about Drew, we're talking about Pat Connaughton, we're talking about Jeff Teague in game six in a closeout game. You know what I mean? Like it's clicking in ways that you wouldn't have expected, and yet it's just happening that way.
It's a storybook run. It really is. This is one for the ages on both sides, honestly. like the Suns, you can't think of a better story, and the Bucks, like it's wild. Like none of the players on either team have ever won a title. Like that's the first time this has happened. I don't know exactly, but it's been a while since that's happened. Neither team has a member of their roster that's won a title in their career before. It's incredible. Like you're mentioning, Jordan, like these things, like everything's sort of clicking into place. Like Pat Connaughton is hitting big shots that really matter. Jeff Teague is playing in closeout games and giving good minutes. Like these things happen. We have guys like Quincy Pondexter tweeting like, oh man, Brooke Lopez is in the finals. Let's go. Like
played with each other?
I don't know. I just saw
wasn't it. Quincy Pondexter on the Lakers that year?
Was he really?
Am I imagining that? Or
I don't know. Honestly, I just saw the tweet and I'm just like,
no, he wasn't. No, they've never played together.
Sure.
How would they know?
Quincy played with Robin, so maybe. And I believe him and Robin were really good friends. So, and he's also from California. Did they go to high school together?
No.
I actually think they went to high school together. This is now coming back to me.
Yeah, sure. You're right. Yeah.
Wow. Okay. That's incredible. That is an incredible fact.
I'm glad, though, NBA players are finally tweeting their love for Book's performances. This is what I've been asking for.
Yeah, it feels good to see
for
that.
For quite a while. So I'm glad Quincy Pondexter's come up with the goods. CJ McCollum, has he been tweeting again?
Doesn't seem like it.
Draymond.
I love your daily pod call up to CJ McCollum.
It doesn't seem like he's
anything to say about the Bucks yet, CJ. Like Draymond, anything to say yet? Draymond was saying a lot about Brook Lopez. A lot. Remember when Chuck told him on TNT, you know, Brooks changed. He's not just firing trees anymore. And Draymond was like, no, you know what you're talking about. It's like, no.
The Charles game has Barkley, truly passed the Warriors by. You know,
Charles Barkley is the only person who's been paying attention to the Bucks this year. I've said it multiple times. What a bizarre world we live in, which is now exemplified by the fact that the Bucks are in the NBA Finals.
Against the Suns.
Against the Suns. The Barkley Bowl now, you know. Yep. The site of his maybe most infamous moment in his career. Against the team that he is most famously associated with for basketball reasons.
Yeah.
You know, it's a wild thing I just read on Twitter. All of the Antetokounmpo brothers have made the finals that are in the NBA.
That's right.
And Kostas is like, this is too easy. I'm going back to Greece. I'm signing a 4-year deal with Olympiacos.
That's incredible.
Bobby Portis just tweeted, Milwaukee, pull up. The gang is on the way.
I think he's literally tweeting about the flight. Yeah, they are. I've seen that on my timeline. Like, they're coming in at like 1 a.m., which means they're leaving.
Jordan's about to like just drop his headphones and rush to the airport. I've never seen this look.
They tweeted the address when the game 7 against the Nets a couple weeks ago. So everybody knows where it's at now.
I mean, it's just it's the private gate at Mitchell, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's what I would have seen too.
But no, it's not. I don't. Oh, yeah, it is.
It's the one place they're going to fly into. But no.
Have you seen? I just quote tweeted it here, but the picture the Bucks put out of Giannis with the Eastern
Oh my God. I almost started crying when I saw
it. Like, that is honestly like take your breath away stuff. It's pretty special. Given one, his last few days, you know, and what everyone's felt for that, but also just the entire journey. Like, the reason for everything else, for all the players who contribute to this, none of it is possible without him, without that guy, without that once in a lifetime pick, and the fact that he signed the Supermax, he's here to stay, and he's getting the rewards for that. You know,
take that, Wes Matthews.
Oh, you're gonna tempt me to unload now. Wes Matthews really thought the grass was greener on the other side. He left home. He was right there. Everything was going so well. I don't know if he's watching. Wes, are you watching? If you are,
maybe
you
watching
know,
Madison or wherever.
There was certainly minutes for you in this playoff run. I don't know if you've noticed with the way things have panned out. You would have been getting plenty of playing time on this team that is now in the finals. But yeah, you know, that's in a way, maybe I shouldn't blame him, because it's, you know, even Bucks fans would be like, yeah, the Lakers probably will win it over the Bucks. So who can blame Wes Matthews, Milwaukee, Wisconsin to his core, that he's like, you know, never trust the Bucks.
Can we take Tony Snell? I feel like he deserves this.
Yeah, I'd love Tony Snell to just, you know, come along to consider on the bench.
He dapped up, who was it? I think it might have been Brooke, actually.
Brooke didn't even...
Oh, man.
Credit to the Bucks generally, because one, I just thought this was like, you know, they mean business. You know, final buzzer wasn't wild celebrations.
No.
Those celebrations didn't happen until, like, the trophy's out there and it's something to celebrate.
Jake Crowder was doing the salsa.
That was the thing that was fresh in my mind, was the difference between...
Oh, God, we
have to play
Jake Crowder.
Come on. We survived Cam Reddish and Kevin Durant, you know, the two best players in the NBA. Who's afraid of Jay Crowder anymore?
Me.
Yeah, me too. But I thought the books were, one, very respectful, but two, seemed to be all about business. And I think part of that respect may have been, or there were multiple, you know, three very significant books who were, I'm sure, pretty eager to get over to Tony Snell and talk to him. And Brooke was right over to do that. So that was very, very cool to see. Snell free agent this summer?
Yes.
Yes.
He needs to come home.
He does. He really does.
He needs to bring Gallo with him as well. Seriously. Danilo Gallinari, you know, had himself a series. You know, I'm actually wearing a hat, so I'm going to tip my hat to the Atlanta Hawks, who just an incredible run. Like, all time run. Look at where they were when Lloyd Pierce was fired. Turn the season around, to get into the playoffs, to get in with the seeding that they ultimately did. That took one hell of a run. To then, okay, not the toughest run of games, but still, they beat the Philadelphia 76ers in the conference semifinals. Like, they've made...
What does that really say, though?
Well, you know, we all love them for it, is what
I've
said.
It says having the first seed in the East is not what it's cracked up to be. That's what it says.
Really isn't. Really is not.
No, we from can experience.
Confirm that now. Yes, we definitely can confirm. First seed is just cursed. It really is. In the East, I'll say that.
But to the point, Hawks deserve a lot of credit. A lot of players absolutely. Who really, really played very well. And also, I won't forget, because it's not necessarily something you see, but Giannis goes down with that injury. when I woke up and I saw that news, one of the things I saw soon after, like in just searching his name on Twitter, three of the first things you saw were Trae Young, Clint Capela, and Bogdan Bogdanovic, like prayers up for Giannis, like really genuinely kind of wishing him well in a way that's really above and beyond given the circumstances. There's probably a type of old school basketball fan who's not crazy about that, but for all of them, my respect went through the roof. Trae came out clearly hurt, didn't have it tonight at all, but he came out and he battled. So my hat quite literally tipped to the Atlanta Hawks. You know, couldn't have beaten a better bunch of guys, is what I'm saying. You know, would I have preferred to like sweep the Raptors to get to the finals? Yeah, that would have been the dream. Force the Sixers into an existential crisis. We've all dreamed of that many times over recent years.
We've waited for that series for the last like 5 years.
But yeah, we may never get it. The reality. We may never get it. But
one of them is good enough to reach at least the conference finals. One of them isn't.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that's again, speaking to the occasion, like everyone wants to hype up like, oh, Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, like they are great. One of them's a great player, Joel Embiid, absolutely great player. The other one, but it takes a lot. Like they've never even made the conference finals. Like the Bucks have done it twice, and now they just made the finals. Like this is, it's momentous, momentous. But yes, I echo everything you just said, Adam. Absolute respect to the Atlanta Hawks. Like their fans brought it. Respect to their fans too. It was an incredible home atmosphere for them. Just. It was a great series. It was absolutely a great series. They're going to be a threat in the East for a bit.
They're a team that, you know, that market. I've been through this cycle many times over my years watching NBA basketball. People are like, you know, one of these years, some big free agent is going to be like, yeah, I want to go live in Atlanta. You know, I'm going to go live in Atlanta. One of these days, the Hawks are going to land a big free agent. And Trae Young has just like exponentially increased the chances of that happening. And that with the rest of the young supporting cast they have in place, you know, the Hawks are going to do big things. And a lot that's happened this season has kind of recalibrated the way the East looks, and the teams that we have viewed, like the Celtics, we viewed for quite a while.
Raptors.
Celtics, Raptors, Sixers. All three of those went down a peg, and some of them more than a peg, and may not be really back anytime soon. And that kind of reckoning.
We won't.
The Hawks are the ascendants. You know, the Hawks are for the next 5 years. If the Bucks kind of keep being one of the true powers in the East, is there a team other than the Nets that are a bigger threat than the Hawks, given what they could become, given what they already have? I think it would be hard to say there is now.
I mean, there's always the threat of the Knicks and their secret free agent they're going to get. Other than that, no. Like, the Raptors might trade, like, their fake best player to the Warriors. Like, the Celtics now have a coach running basketball operations and don't have a starting point guard. That's NBA capable. The Sixers are just absolutely in an existential crisis. The Nets are going to be good. The Nets are going to be really good.
Feel safe to say the Nets will be good.
Yes.
Like, worst case scenario, even if the Nets had to tear things down at some point, I think they might be able to get some assets for some of those players. So the Nets are going to be a force no matter what way that team evolves over the years. A Matt Moore tweet here, HP Basketball.
Oh, boy.
This is something... No, this is good. Okay. This is something that, like, we all kind of know, but just in a moment like this is kind of worth again reflecting on. So Giannis, 15th pick, Drew, 17th pick, Chris, 39th pick, Brooke, 10th pick, PJ Tucker, 35th pick, Pat, 41st pick, Bryn Forbes, undrafted, Bobby Portis, 22nd overall pick. Like, has a team ever got to the finals before with no single digit draft pick?
I think it was the Raptors 2 years ago.
That sounds right.
Right? Because Lowry wasn't.
Larry wasn't. Kawhi wasn't.
Gasol definitely was not.
He was second rounder. Siakam wasn't. Yeah, that would be the one. Okay. So it's not that long ago at all. But before then, I don't actually think there would be. Like, I do think that's probably those two teams might be it. Like, an incredibly rare occurrence. And a great feat of team building, and also something like we just talked about the Sixers and what they've gone through. That's the thing. If you're like the Oklahoma City Thunder right now, or if you're any one of the tons of franchises, I guess you don't want to focus on. But then on the other side of things, the Phoenix Suns have gone the exact opposite route, and they've had some luck with that, and they've been able to trade picks and stuff too. So an interesting exercise in two very different approaches, very different routes to building a team that gets you to the NBA Finals.
So I have a question to ask. I think everybody's dying to know the answer to this. So, Adam, when are you coming to Milwaukee? I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Let me just check my bank balance there and come back with the bad news. I mean, soon? Soon? Maybe we can aim for, like, ring night. I don't think it will be before that, but, you know, I can come along to accept my ring along with the rest of the team.
Hey, anyone associated with the Milwaukee Bucks, if you're listening to this, bring Adam to the finals.
No.
Bring
no,
Adam
no.
to the finals.
No. Let's do it. I tweeted a joke about this. This got very uncomfortable very quickly. I don't want some sort of grassroots movement. I'll get there. I promise everyone. I'll get there off my own back very soon. But
No, let's just have the Bucks do it.
I've said a lot of stuff about the Bucks. A lot of good stuff.
That's the Milwaukee Bucks. Of having this platform is that there's something that can track to anything.
We've done a lot of good over the years, and I'm not sure if anyone in the Bucks would remember the good rather than maybe some of the bad.
Hey, I mean, if there's one thing that we can say here at the USF Podcast Network is that we try our best to cover this team objectively, and that's not just
100%.
Pandering, I'll say. Yeah. What else do we have here, realistically?
I don't think we've got much more because we're not really touching the Sun series, and I think that's the way it needs to be. Mm-hmm. What, that starts July 6th? Oh my God. Like,
yeah.
Tuesday.
Just even one more day, not even for the players or for Giannis or anything, just for me. That would be great, you know, just to recover from all of this.
No break. We get the final schedule. Is it? Yeah, it starts July 6th. Did the times get announced too and I just missed it?
The times are going to be 8 p.m. Central. And it's
why?
This is what they do.
Because
yeah,
there's no other game going.
Yeah, but
their marquee.
Just
what's wrong with seven? What's wrong with seven?
I don't disagree, but this is what they do.
I hate it.
You know those ratings that everybody keeps talking about at the NBA? Those ratings, guys.
Did the ratings get better at 8?
No,
that's
they
9
shouldn't.
Eastern. They
yeah.
should not get
what
better.
What are you doing?
Like, an overtime game in the finals is past midnight. That is not a big deal to me. It's 5:41 a.m. for me right now. But I know for most normal people who actually live in a relevant time zone, the idea of, you know, midnight, midweek to be up to watch a basketball game is like absurd. You should not be setting your product up for that. You know, you should not. You can easily go an hour earlier and hit closer to a sweet spot than you would get otherwise. It's wild to me. I mean, this is not the most extreme example of it because you do have Phoenix right over there on one extreme of it, and the Bucks are Central time zone, they're not Eastern. So I get it. I just hate it personally. I despise it. I'm going to soldier on through it. It will be tired and emotional. That's all I can say. Yeah. My podcast performances are going to be tired and emotional throughout the NBA Finals.
Yeah, we've got Tuesday, July 6th at 8 p.m. Then we've got Thursday, July 8th at 8 p.m. Then there's a little bit of a gap. They're not just doing every other day like they are for the conference finals. For Sunday at 7. Ooh, that's a 7 p.m. start. Ooh.
And okay.
Then, Game 4 is again 8 p.m. and the rest are 8 p.m. So we have one 7 p.m. start, Central.
Great. Lock me in for appearing on that podcast for sure. That's what I'll say. Now I'll be there for... This is the NBA Finals.
Exactly. That was my next point. this is the NBA finals. Who cares? Who cares if I have to get up at like 6:30 a.m. the next day? That's fine. I do that every day. It's fine. But it's the NBA finals. This is literally for me a once in a lifetime thing. Like this, like I haven't had to experience this. Like it's incredible. It's incredible that this is something that we get to witness.
Again, 47-year-old people. If you were 47 years old, you were an infant when the books were last year. You don't remember it. You are at least in your 50s to have any memories of the books at this point, which is just truly incredible.
Truly incredible indeed. Yeah, Jordan, do you have any final thoughts here?
Final thoughts?
Yes. Right? Oh, perfect. That was great. I respect that.
I think that's my final thought. That right there.
Yeah, Jordan just makes a joke and he doesn't follow up the joke. I don't know if you may not be used to this yet, but even if it's a joke that prompts some sort of follow up, he'll leave it and just be satisfied that he got the joke.
Yes, for sure. I guess we could say that there was reporting earlier that if this did indeed go to a 7-game series that Giannis would be given the green light to play in game 7. That was a Chris Haynes report, who is very, very well locked in to Giannis and Damian Lillard reporting.
Particularly Giannis reporting, he is a man in the know.
Yes, for sure. So we can take that to believe that Giannis Antetokounmpo is probably going to play in the NBA Finals.
Yeah,
starting with just game 1.
100%. Giannis again, will be playing game 1.
Incredible. Imagine saying this to any of us like 3 days ago. It's incredible.
Crazy. I mean, just thinking even after that, and even when we knew it wasn't that bad, I still thought they'd drop a game. I just thought without him, they're going to drop one. Like it's...
Yeah, I'm going
to... I wouldn't blame them. There'd be no problem with that, but... Yeah, everything since that moment, which seemed like the lowest of lows, has turned out pretty good. Good news on Giannis, and then just 2 wins to follow it up.
Yeah, I'm going to peel back the curtain a little bit here. After the post-game 4 podcast, where we all predicted that the Hawks were going to lose this game 6, the Bucks are going to win and advance to the NBA Finals. After we wrap recording, Adam's like, we just all predict that the Milwaukee Bucks are going to win? I don't think they're going to win. They won. They won. Oh,
in 6.
Goodness. Yeah. I don't think we addressed that enough, realistically. Like, I know we should probably wrap this episode
up. Prophecies. Look, this was the night the prophecies came true. Brandon Jennings, he said they're going to win in 6. They finally won in 6. Adam McGee said the Jeff Teague game was going to come. The Jeff Teague game came. So, you know, big night for Brandon Jennings and me. That's really... Brandon Jennings' big night is also quite big for me, as you know, someone with a podcast called Win in 6.
Do you think?
But Brandon, hey, to really make it, you know, to make it all the better, they should go and, you know, win in 6 again.
Oh boy.
They should just win in 6 all the time from now on. I think that's the curse is finally being broken. Let's just only win in 6 from now on. Just,
even in the first round against the Pistons.
I'm fine with that if they win in 6 every time. I'll take slightly longer first round series for longer playoff runs in general.
All I know is that my guy Thanasis is in the finals. Like,
yes, he incredible. Is.
He is. Like,
there is an incredible group of players. Like, honestly, Axel Tupac is in the finals. No disrespect. There is like 5 guys in the finals that a year from now, if you're like to me, name the Bucks roster that made the finals, I am not going to get all of them. That's genuinely like, I might have a better chance of naming the 74 finals roster than this Bucks finals roster in a few months because, yeah, you know, it's a fun one. Justin Jackson.
Yeah,
never gonna remember Justin 100%. Jackson was there.
Sorry,
Axel Tupan, not gonna remember that. Elijah Bryant, I guess the summer and into next season will tell if any of us remember
Jordan
that.
Will remember.
Jordan will. Exactly. I will. And like Diakite, Wara, and Sam Merrill, well, they've got some time to determine whether we will remember that they were on this team.
Like, this is how it is every year. It's like, no, guys, this is not.
Get them on the phone with like Rashad Vaughn.
Exactly.
Damian Inglis.
Oh my goodness.
Chris Copeland.
Well,
don't get anyone.
I don't need any book speaking to. Remember that sequence, Jordan? It's one of the book sequences that's like burned on the back of my eyeballs from a whole time. The sequence that I refer to as the time Chris Copeland was chasing butterflies instead of like. I'm sure I could find that. It was definitely tweeted out at the time.
How far have we come?
Very far. Very, very far.
I remember convincing myself that Chris Copeland was going to be a great player on the team.
It's Jason Kidd's buddy. That's what he was.
Yeah, I didn't realize the minutiae of it.
As was Uncle Buck, I mean, who I brought up earlier. Kenyon Martin. There was a phase where not only was there the whole Jeff Schwartz thing, but there was also just Kidd's former Knicks teammates were just coming in to play for the Bucks. Let's not think too much about that right now, because I want to go to sleep happy. And
it's good because you remember everything that you've been through to get to this moment, everything that's led up to this moment, all of the pain, all of the suffering, all of the pulling your hair out, wondering why on earth are these things happening. I don't even need to say anything specific. I'm sure when I said that, everyone listening probably thought of a different thing, and there's enough to do that. Realistically, there's just been so much pain that has come through the years from this franchise. But they've done it. They made the NBA Finals. I'm just incredulous right now. Like, it's incredible. It is absolutely incredible. Everyone out there, just celebrate, because this is a big moment. Make sure you go out there and celebrate. Make sure you just support this team. Like
Aaron Rodgers. Yeah. He's tweeting again. Four more.
Yeah.
Hashtag books, you know. He's going to sign for the books next season. That's what's going to happen.
Oh, my.
They need some passing in the second unit. Let's be honest, you know. He's looking at Jeff Teague, and he's like,
Tony Romo got a
see it. Come on.
Preseason game. Did Tony Romo actually play in that preseason game, or did he just?
Oh my god! Okay.
Is there a professional sport that Tony Romo, like, he's played on like the web.com tour for golf? That's true. Well. Like, he's basically, he just tries his hand at like, oh yeah, I'm gonna be a pro in this sport.
Was it but... no? Did he actually play though, or is it just in?
No, remember they did when he retired, Cuban. I can't believe.
No, yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I just had that image burned in my head.
Tony Romo from Madison. Yeah. Have I imagined that? He is. Okay.
Yeah.
Is it Madison? I believe. Yeah, I think it is.
No, Burlington.
Oh, yeah. That's it. I just Googled Tony.
He's a born Antonio, too.
I just Googled Tony Romo.
Tony Romo.
On that note,
I think that's a good place to wrap.
Have you got a review to do or something? Or are we leaving?
Yeah.
That?
Yes. No. I do have a review.
This review comes from Tono Romo.
You have to change your name on Twitter to that. Tono Romo.
Oh, this is this is definitely the end of a post celebratory podcast. My goodness, we do have a solid 5-star review here from Bucks fan number one. This is the most recent review. I'm going to read it because I'm feeling good.
Congratulations, the Bucks fan number one.
There we go.
It's not like the first Bucks fan ever. I mean, he's been waiting a while for this.
Yeah. So the subject line is just Rohan with 3 exclamation points.
Oh wow, you picked this one.
It's the first one I saw. That's what we're going to see. I love your podcast. It's an amazingly balanced from a Bucks fan perspective. The highs are highs and the lows are lows. I especially appreciate Rohan's perspective. As a Bucks fan, we have been conditioned to be let down in a catastrophic fashion, but yet we persevere. I hope Rohan's and mine cynical nature are crushed this year and the Bucks prevail as champions. Keep doing what you guys are doing. We'll continue to listen through the good, bad, and ugly Bucks. That is a perfect encapsulation.
How did you manage to get that book?
I have no
one,
idea.
Explain
if
it.
I'm being
you know,
honest.
How did you manage that, Rohan? No, I agree with that. I second that review. I like Rohan's perspective too.
Oh, thank you. But aside from the pandering, which is appreciated, but also like I do not take compliments well, so it makes me a little uncomfortable.
You read them pretty well.
We'll see what we'll see. See, I'm already thrown off. But just that is a perfect encapsulation, saying we hope the cynical natures are sort of crushed this year. That it just speaks to Bucks fans everywhere. It's not over. It's not over. They still have a series to play where they can potentially etch their names in just the history books in a greater stature than they already have, right? Like they're already there, but they can win it all. They can absolutely win it all. We are going to see the NBA Finals. We don't have to be so cynical anymore. Like they've reached this point.
I can't wait to revisit this after game one.
I don't even care. I said before this series that if the Bucks make the finals, like I consider this season and it's just a win. It is
a success. Yes. This season is a success. Like without absolutely. Question. But they are there now, and I have no doubt that everyone's feelings will shift. Give it a couple of days.
Subside and then you
get into the
series.
Because you're there. And I mean the thing is, if they don't win it now, it's gonna hang over them again. You know, you come back next season, it's like, oh yeah, sure, they got to the finals, but can they win a championship? It's like it's easy to just go and deal with all of that in one fell swoop.
For sure, for sure. But you also see like a legacy of a guy like Dwight Howard, right? Like led
complicated
a team to an
one,
NBA.
Generally, but sure, yeah.
Yes, 100%. Led a team to an NBA Finals, and that's there in his legacy forever. Forever. And now that's there for members of this team. I don't know why my first example is Dwight Howard.
Not a bad example. A guy whose career, I think, in a lot of ways mirrors Giannis up to this age, kind of in terms of achievements. There's a lot of stuff you could point to. And then, well, this is now the point where Giannis can thankfully diverge from what Dwight's career became next. Because, yeah, he got to the conference finals with his team, with his smaller market team, a funky team. Oh, yeah, that's right.
2009. Lakers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Well, you know, but that doesn't count. You know, there's getting to the finals.
I mean, they beat LeBron.
Okay, all right. Yeah, no, it's fair. I forgot about that. I thought when Jordan said the Lakers, I thought you meant, like, last year.
Oh, I forgot about that. No, that's
yeah, that too.
I was like, yeah, that doesn't count. I'm not counting that. You know, it's got to be the ones where he's the guy. But yeah, no, fair point.
This is a massive legacy boost for everyone involved. I think we should wrap this up. I already did the review. I'm still laughing at Toto Romo. But yeah, thank you for if you're somehow made it through this, you are.
They're all gone, Rohan. They're all left 5 minutes ago.
No. The real ones are here. The real ones are here. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking on this journey with us. We are still going to continue to bring you the great coverage throughout the NBA Finals as the Milwaukee Bucks will be taking on the Phoenix Suns. We'll have preview episodes. We will have post-game pods as we've been doing. Just in general, thank you for listening to this episode of the Eurostep Podcast Network post game. The Win in Six podcast is here like in full, and that's just, it's perfect. It is perfect for this night, this evening. Make sure you leave a review if you want to get it read on the next episode. 5 stars, as always. If it's not 5 stars, I'm not going to read it out. Sorry. I hear fireworks going off in the background in downtown Milwaukee. It's just perfect. Make sure you're subscribed on your podcast platform of choice. Check out all of the great content across the Blue Wire Podcast Network. Go Bucks! Go Bucks, everyone. Make sure you go celebrate, and we will talk to you next time.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.